Hi, I'm Christy Uden, CEO at the Board of Certified Safety Professionals. When you think of a safety professional, what comes to mind? Maybe someone holding a clipboard, telling their coworkers what they're doing wrong? That image is common, but narrowly characterizes the fundamental role of a safety professional. Safety professionals play a critical role in the company's culture, making it a place where people want to work. They help us see the impact of the safe workplace and think of safety as something we want, not just something we need. Join me as we take a dive into the many facets of what safety professionals really do and the impact they have for their organizations. This is Safety on Location.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to another exciting edition of Safety on Location. I'm Joel Burgi, and I'm joined, as always, by the CEO of BCSP, Christy Uden.
Hi, Joel.
Well, Christy, this time we packed up our gear and headed to Oklahoma to catch up with a familiar face in the BCSP family, Leslie Stockel. And if that name rings a bell, that's because Leslie's a former BCSP board president, and these days she's shaping the next generation of safety pros as a professor in Oklahoma State University's Fire Protection and Safety Engineering Technology program, which began in 1937 and remains one of the few fire protection programs in the U.S.
As Joel mentioned, Leslie's been a big part of our world for years, and it's such a historical program, we thought it only fitting to visit her and hers. And if you're picturing quiet lectures and dusty textbooks, think again. The academic side of safety is dynamic, hands-on, and so engaging, you might even see sparks fly.
Yeah, Christy, this, you know, was exciting and challenging for our camera crew. We found ourselves filming fire tornadoes. Yeah, you heard that correctly. Fire tornadoes, a sprinkler demonstration, and dust explosion. And I can assure you that this was all done safely by professionals. Well, let's jump into this episode, shall we?
My name is Leslie Stockel. I am an associate professor of professional practice in the Fire Protection and Safety Engineering Technology program here at Oklahoma State University.
And can you tell us a little bit about your role?
Sure. My role here at the university is I am a full-time professor. I teach courses in occupational safety and health, process safety, safety management, electrical safety. In the past, I've taught classes in risk control and senior project and even human factors and ergonomics.
And what brought you here to OSU?
Well, so I'm a graduate of this program. I graduated from here in 1989 and worked in industry for 25 years or almost 30 years, I imagine. After I got my master's, I started teaching as an adjunct. And I just taught adjunct courses while I was working other jobs and doing consulting work for about 10 years. And then there was an opportunity to come back here. And so I applied for a full-time faculty position and I got it. And that was in 2016. And I've been here ever since.
What's some of the differences that you've noticed between like being in industry and then also working in a university setting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the difference between industry and the academic setting is a couple of things, I think. So the pace is completely different. You know, when you work in industry, you do a lot of different things all day long. And you might make a presentation or do a training class once in a while. You know, you do an hour-long lecture multiple times a day for highly technical topics every day for 16 weeks. And that the pace of that is just completely different, and it's way more intense than it would be in the private sector. And so timing, everything has to be timed out just right. And you only have 50 minutes with the students. You can't run over. You can't stay long. You can't ask them to stay, you know, you have to get it done in the time that you're given. And so that has been a big challenge.
At BCSP, we emphasize the value of building a strong safety culture. But how do you teach that to students who have never experienced that in action? As Leslie describes, it's one of the more difficult aspects of teaching safety, but she's found a clever, timely way to create those aha moments that make it click for her students.
In thinking about just like safety culture in general,
because that's a big topic that we always talk about is, you know, developing that positive safety culture. How do you, at a university level, when you're working with students who may not have a lot of real world experience yet, be able to apply that theoretical concept to the practical work that they'll be doing when they may not have had that experience yet?
Yeah. You know, that's a great question. And honestly, that's probably one of the hardest things to teach and explain is that segment of the safety management class. Because I can teach them all about OSHA and I can teach them how to read the regulations and lockout, tag out and electrical safety and very physical, practical things. But when I start talking about this kind of esoteric culture of safety, they kind of look at you like, what? So I use a lot of popular culture. So I'll pull clips out of TV shows like The Office, or there's some movies, Horrible Bosses. I have to clip out all the bad words. But, you know, and then, you know, some of them occasionally will get older students who have had jobs. So if I get a non-traditional student, I'm like, tell these guys about your experience. But then everybody's worked somewhere, at least, you know, even if they did was mow lawns, or even if all they did was, and there's nothing against that, but just, you know, if they worked some kind of teenager type job, there's experiences that we can draw from. So I try to get them to share their experiences and then make the correlation. And then once they've had an internship, it's really funny because once a student goes out on an internship, it's like a light bulb goes off and they come back and they are completely different and they understand and they, it's like, oh, that's what she was talking about. And I've actually had students either call me right after graduation or come back from an internship and be like, oh my gosh, you talked about this and I did not really understand what you were talking about. And then now I get it. I totally get it now. So that gives me real satisfaction. So
one of the more exciting parts of any collegiate EHS program is the hands-on training. At OSU, that means teaming up with the university's EHS staff to work through real-world scenarios, like climbing into underground tunnels to assess confined spaces, performing hazard and operability analysis, or inspecting HVAC systems the size of your living room. Does the program here collaborate with the university's safety team as well?
Yes, we do, actually. So the EHS director, a lady named Kim Southworth, and she is a certified industrial hygienist. She and I work together on several things. She has asked me for help on a few things here and there, and I help her where I can. But also, we work with her and the other university kind of facilities departments on providing, you know, class trips or projects for students, because, you know, this is a major university and we have a power plant. We have a wastewater treatment plant. We have substations. We have a clean water treatment plant. We have hazardous chemical waste places. We have an underground system of tunnels that are confined spaces, you know, and so we collaborate, and really probably she helps me more than I help her. In one of our classes, it's called Risk Control Engineering. We will actually take a different department of the university and our students will go in as a team and do a total risk evaluation. You know, what's OSHA compliance, fire protection, general risk, you know, anything that could go wrong. And then we will actually, the students will go in, they'll do their assessment, and then they'll, you know, do all the regulatory or code researching that needs to be done. And then they'll come up with some recommendations and then present to their client, this is what we identified and this is what we think you need to improve. And actually, we just built a new power boiler, when I first started working here, so it's almost been 10 years, but we did several when that unit was getting built and coming up, you know, getting up and running. And we actually found several things that maybe were missed during construction that they actually were able to go in and fix, you know, and they were very appreciative of that because they're like, yeah, you're saving us, you know. And one project we did with the water treatment plant, they have chlorine, they have ammonia for water treatment. Those are all PSM chemicals. So we did their HAZOP for them. You know, we went through the whole process of the HAZOP and gave them our report. And they're like, thank you so much. This helps us so much. So, and then they just allow us, like just last week, we have this whole series of utility tunnels under this whole campus. And so we set up a confined space and did a permit and the students got to climb down into the manhole and kind of creep around in the tunnels under campus. And then over in our library, we have this huge HVAC system for the whole library. It's the size of a room, the air handling system. So they can go in there and then they can crawl up all the way up into the top of the steeple. And so these are experiences that not every student at OSU gets, and then not every student in safety gets, but we get them and the students love them. I mean, that's their favorite part, is the field trips and the site visits and the hands-on.
You might expect a program called Fire Protection and Safety to focus only on fire-related topics. But what makes Leslie's program stand out is the breadth of knowledge the students gain. Students tackle everything from fluid mechanics to crane calculations, graduating with the skills to add value to any safety-related industry.
What do you think's, you know, one of the most unique things about this program when you compare it to some of the other university programs?
I mean, in terms of the safety, the qualified academic programs, I think just our blend, our holistic blend of both the risk, it's really all total risk. We call it fire protection and safety. And I always say it's fire protection and safety, not fire protection or safety. It's everything. I mean, it's everything together. And, you know, we might learn about how to do a HAZOP in the process safety class, but then when you look at the fire protection risk assessment methods, it's exactly the same. And so everything we teach them builds upon the next thing. And so by the time they get to their senior year, you know, so here's something that you guys will like. In that very last class they take, and I have taught it many times in the past, the very first class, I hand them a CSP ASP blueprint. And I say, take your highlighter and highlight every topic that you remember learning about in this degree, in all the classes that you've taken. And they just start. And, you know, it's the chemistry, it's the physics, it's the calculus, it's the everything, you know. And then they start getting through the safety stuff. And there's very little on there that they don't highlight. And then I do it. And we also, our students can get the PE, the professional engineering license. So I take that blueprint and I have them do that as well. And when they look at that, I'm like, now tell me where your gaps are. And they're like, well, I don't have very many gaps. I'm like, you're welcome.
Wow, what a confidence builder. And really?
Yeah, what I'm trying to do is get them to see that, you know, because sometimes when you're, you know, eyeball deep in fluid mechanics calculations or crane calculations, it's hard to see the end of the road, right? You're like, why do we have to do this? I hate this. It's hard, right? And yes, all those things are true. But it's when you get to the end and you look back and you realize, oh, wow, I have this breadth of knowledge that I can really take anywhere, to any company, any industry, and add value to that industry, add value to that place, work with that company to help save lives and protect property and people. And that's what we say. We protect people, property, and the environment. That's kind of our mantra. And when they get there, then they're like, oh, okay, now we get it. So, you know, sometimes the journey is challenging and difficult, and sometimes we have to drag them kicking and screaming, but at the end, when they get their job and they starting their career, and then you see them at a conference and they're so excited because they're doing all the things, and they get their first promotion because they are so smart and they work so hard. And that's really what kind of gives me the satisfaction of the job.
Growth in safety means keeping up with the latest tools and technology, and the academic world is no exception. As AI becomes part of everyday life, Leslie and her colleagues are finding creative ways to integrate that into the classroom. As she puts it, it's here and we can't resist it.
What types of technology and equipment, and how has that changed the way that you teach your students?
Well, how does it change? Well, we certainly have more of it now, which is nice. And just having things like little YouTube clips, or, you know, there's a lot of things on social media now that you can pull out and use in class. And that's another way to engage the young people, because they're very attuned to social media. Keeping up with all the latest equipment. So we partner with our industrial advisory board. We also partner with vendors like, you know, we've had some fall protection equipment that has been donated to us by a fall protection company. And we also have a guy that works for a fall protection company, and he'll bring his truck to our lab and do fall demonstrations. And so that's nice that they're willing to do that. And then, you know, we're just trying to keep up with the changes in, like, you know, detector technology and things like that, gas detection technology. If we can work with our industry partners and our and vendors and people like that to just try to stay up to date. We try to give the students the most up-to-date equipment that they might be working with. And we're lucky that the industry partners that we have are willing to work with us on that. So
are you seeing any trend, any particular trends with technology that for the safety industry that we need to stay ahead of?
I mean, the thing that everybody's talking about right now is artificial intelligence, and good or bad, we tend to not like it here in academia because, you know, the students will use it rather than thinking for themselves. And we don't like that. But I think we can't just resist it. It's here. We're going to have to embrace it and figure out how to use it. And we're learning how to use it, but we're also having to learn how to detect it, you know, for academic integrity issues. So one thing I've done is in the class, I told them they had to write a paper, and I said, you can use artificial intelligence, but you have to cite it as a source and you have to validate it. You have to check to make sure what it's telling you is right. And so I allowed them to use it, and they're like, oh, this is great. But then the second paper, I'm like, you can use artificial intelligence. And they're like, nah, I don't want to. And I'm like, why? And they said, because A, it gives you false information and it's too hard to validate. I said, there you go. You know, you as a safety professional, you could write a safety procedure with artificial intelligence. You could do it in about 30 seconds, but is it right? And if you give someone a procedure that you've written that you didn't check and it's not right, at best you'll be fired, at worst you'll be sued, and at really worst somebody might die, you know. So you got to use it well. And so I think that's our next big challenge. Is it's here. I don't think we're going to get away from it. We just got to figure out how to use it right, how to use it properly, right? You know, because it could really create a lot of problems.
Did that surprise you that they came back and said, no, they don't want to use it?
Yeah, it did. I thought for sure they'd be all over it, but they were like, yeah, that was too hard. It's easier just to look it up yourself. And I'm like, okay, well, there you go.
It's kind of a nice surprise.
Yeah.
The Fire Protection and Safety Engineering Technology Program at OSU was one of the first to join BCSP's Qualified Academic Program, also known as the QAP. Today, that list has grown into 126 programs and continues to expand. As Leslie explains, graduating from a QAP and becoming eligible for the Graduate Safety Practitioner designation can really give students a major advantage when they enter the job market.
Your program here actually is part of our qualified academic program,
which
you had mentioned. And I just wonder, could you describe a little bit about that relationship between your program and BCSP and how that might help students get an advantage in the workforce?
We were one of the very first qualified academic programs when BCSP launched the program. We've been ABET accredited since 1977 or 76. And so, you know, that I think was how we originally got involved with QAP. I think I took the ASP because that program didn't exist when I graduated. And I tell the students, be thankful that you don't have to take that exam because it's a very challenging exam, you know, and this just gives you a leg up. And I was just at the Safety Olympics last week, and I was talking to a gentleman, Matthew Heron. He's a BCSP ambassador, and he's a very influential person in the safety community. And he kind of said it this way. He said, I've got two resumes, and all things equal, and the two candidates are, you know, pretty much equal in everything, but the one that has the GSP or the one that has the ASP or the CSP is the one that's getting the job. And he said that to my students, and I was like, yes. And so it just, you know, it's having that, being able to offer that to our students is very valuable because it helps them on their journey for their career. And just the relationship between OSU and BCSP has just been fabulous. I mean, even before I came to work here, you know, we became the QAP And BCSP has always been very supportive of our program. So it's just creating those connections. To me, that's where the real value comes. And then all these students over the course of their life, we know that the CSP is the gold standard, and we share that with the students from day one. And we, you know, try to encourage them in that, especially the ones that pursue a EHS type career. So,
well, I thought, you know, I just want to backtrack a little bit, because your comment when you were talking about taking the blueprints and highlighting all of the different areas of the program, for in case the listeners don't know, that's actually part of the GSP program, is we take the ASP and we map it to make sure that the university's curriculum maps to that ASP blueprint, which is what's needed in industry, right? Best practice in industry. Mm-hmm. So I think that just that action in of itself is an excellent opportunity that everybody should do at schools, because I think that one not only builds confidence, but shows that this is the skill set that industry is looking for, right?
Sure.
To give you that leg up. So I appreciate you sharing that. I just wanted to make sure the audience knew that's kind of what the GSP program is making sure they have the skills.
While many academic programs stick to a similar curriculum year to year, Leslie's brings in alumni and industry experts to discuss current events, like ongoing wildfires, to help students connect classroom concepts to what's actually happening in the field.
So there's been a lot of devastation lately with fires in California, Hawaii and stuff. Is that something that you kind of, with recent things that happen in the world, do you kind of incorporate that into the curriculum, and how do you do that?
Yes. Yeah, so how we incorporate current events into the curriculum is through our alumni network, a couple different ways. We will bring not just alumni, but we'll bring key people from industry to Stillwater to talk to students, either in individual classes or through our student organizations like the ASSP or the Society for Fire Protection Engineers. But we also have once a year, it's called the Distinguished Seminar. And we will bring someone who's well known in industry to come and talk about, you know, current issues. We actually had Josh Franklin, who used to work for BCSP. He came one year and was our distinguished speaker, and just talk about current events and what's going on. But to get back to the wildfire, so we also have a program in emergency management, fire emergency management, and the students can, it's a master's and a PhD program, but then our undergraduate students can get a minor in emergency management. And we have a lot of students pursue that in their elective classes. They take the emergency management classes. And it's very important, because even if you're working in an industrial environment, you have to be prepared for emergencies. I mean, that was when I worked in industry, that was probably 40% of my job was emergency response, right? Getting ready in case we had an injury, getting ready in case we had a fire explosion or a tornado or something like that. And so we have done some research projects with relationship to the wildland urban interface. We have, we have our graduate students working on things to take to conferences, and then we try to bring those back into the undergraduate classrooms for the students. We did a research project a couple of years ago where we actually grew grass in coffee cans, different breeds of grass. We worked with our agriculture department. And we grew different breeds of grass in coffee cans, and then we let them dry out, and then we burned them to see how the fire would spread, the heat release rates, what would happen when these things burned. And so we are, the wildland urban interface issue is huge for all sectors, and so we are involved with that, and many from an emergency response, emergency management point of view, but also from a fire dynamics point of view. And when we go out and look at our labs, we're going to demonstrate for you guys a fire tornado. This is what happens in a wildfire, and we study it from a fire dynamics point of view to understand it, so that we can share that information with emergency responders. So we're very, very in touch with the whole wildland issue. So unfortunately, in our world, so
seeing, yeah,
U.S.
Yeah. Seems like there's a lot of that lately.
Leslie knows firsthand the value of certification. Encouraged by her own professors while attending this very program, she earned the CSP early in her career, a decision that's proved pivotal to her professional growth. As she explains, the CSP opened doors to promotions and new roles, giving her an edge over others without it. It's a great example of how our certificates demonstrate the real-world value of certification.
We talked about, you know, you hold certifications. We kind of talked about your career. But I'd like to know what motivated you to become certified.
To become certified. Okay. What motivated me to earn my CSP? Well, when I was in school here at OSU, they talked about it. And they said, you know, if you're gonna become a safety professional, you really need to ultimately get that CSP certification. And I'm like, okay, gotcha, check, will do. And then when I got my first job, I worked at a paper mill, worked for a paper company, and just a classic safety, you know, safety professional role. And that company had a lot of older people who were safety managers, safety, you know, professionals. They all had their CSP. And they supported us to get, you know, to do the study and take the test and do that. And it just was like, this is what you do. If you're going to be a safety professional, you get your CSP. That's what you do. So for me, there never was an if I'm going to get it. It was always a when I'm going to get it, right? And I got it. So I graduated in 89 and I got it in 93, the CSP.
How do you think having the certification has impacted your career?
Well, I can tell you that it has gotten me the job over someone who didn't have it more than once. It has gotten me promoted over someone that didn't have it. It has also gotten me paid more than someone who didn't have it.
What are some of the key skills that are necessary to be an effective safety professional?
So what I think about the key skills needed to be an effective safety professional may be a little bit different from the rest of the world, because I, you know, I read the journals and I go to the conferences, and lately I hear people talking a lot about the people skills. And I believe 100% that people skills are incredibly important to be a successful anything, professional anything. You have to be a good listener. You have to be a good communicator. You have to be an influencer. That is so important. But I think sometimes we forget about the technical skills. And I believe it's two sides of a coin. You cannot have one without the other. If you want to be a successful, respected safety professional, yes, you have to have all the people skills, but you also have to have strong technical skills. Because it's the technical skills. You have to be able to see the hazard, identify the risk, assess the risk, and then make corrective actions. If you don't do that, it doesn't matter how nice you are. You got to know the technical side of it. You can't ignore that. So that's, and again, I'm probably not in the majority right now in our field. That's not the emphasis. The emphasis is all on people skills. And again, I'm not trying to diminish people skills. They are important, but you cannot forget about the technical skills.
And how, for employers, for instance, on those technical skills, how do they ensure? Mm-hmm. I mean, even with leadership skills, right? And the ability, like, what should they be looking for? Is there anything in particular that would be helpful?
Well, having certification would be a good first step, right?
That is one way to assess that, right?
Yeah. I mean, so you can teach, to that point, you can teach both technical skills and people skills. And so I think in an organization, in your hiring process, you've got to have people vetting both sides of those things. And then you've also have to have some form of development for both of those things. You've got to continue developing their technical skills and at the same time developing their interpersonal skills. We try to do that here, at OSU. Our students are engineering majors, so we tend to lean heavy on the technical side of things. But we make them do team projects. We make them do presentations. We work with clients, and so they have to interface with their clients. And so we try to give them those little experiences in the college environment that help prepare them for that. But I think any employer needs to, and this is just any employer, needs to develop their workers, right? Or develop their professional staff. And it's not, you develop the interpersonal skills as well as you develop the technical skills.
Then one last question then, okay. As I'm thinking about that, if for those individuals that maybe aren't in a situation at where they have the employer that are investing in professional development or budget cuts or whatever like mm-hmm. that. Is there any advice you would give to that person on how they can continue maybe some opportunities for them to continue building those skills to be successful in their career?
Well, I think I'm going to get a little philosophical here for a minute about a person's professional and personal growth. If you're waiting for your employer to help you become a better person and professional, you're probably going to be disappointed. An individual has to do that on their own. And the library has free books. You know, the internet has a lot of videos. You can get all this information without spending a dime. Oh, what's his name? Napoleon Hill. He was a big author from like the 30s and 40s, and he wrote a lot of inspirational books. And he said, is my favorite quote, he said, if you're not willing to learn, no one can help you. But if you're determined to learn, no one can stop you. And I'm like, that is it right there. You know, if you want to learn it, you will, you know, but if you're waiting for someone else to let it wash over you like a wave, then it's probably not going to happen. So if a person is motivated to learn and develop and grow, they will be. They will do it. They will find a way, no matter what.
That wraps up part one of our visit to Oklahoma State University. You know, we see Leslie so often around different BCSP events. It was a really nice change of pace to get to watch her in her academic element. And I was especially struck by her focus on technical skills.
Same here. With so much attention being put on the soft skills like leadership and relationship building, it's really a needed reminder that the technical side of safety is just as vital. And hearing about those hands-on training that our students receive, well, that's the kind of learning that really sticks with you beyond graduation.
You know, I wish my college days had more fire tornadoes and fewer late-night runs to Chili's, you know, but now we get to roll up our sleeves alongside these safety pros. So in a way, we are getting that hands-on education.
That's a really good point. You can actually watch the fire tornado, dust explosion, and sprinkler demo videos on the Hub right now, right?
Yeah, Christy, those videos and plenty more are on the Hub ready for you to check out at bcsphub.com. We also have part two of this Safety on Location episode available for you next week to check out. We sit down with Dr. Virginia Charter, Associate Professor and Program Coordinator at OSU, and a student of the program, Caleb Pierce, to bring you even more insight into their inner workings of an EHS college program. Well, thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Safety on Location is a podcast from BCSP with your host, BCSP CEO, Christy Uden, produced by Joel Burgai, edited by Jared Griot, and editorial support from Brandon Mohawk. If you like this episode, subscribe to receive new episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.